and grace, Lord, which is characteristic of this hour, though not for long. We thank you, Lord, that we are in your presence, where your prophet says that you have revealed yourself amongst us at this hour, showing your grace and mercy to the church, and next time you reveal yourself, you'll be in judgment upon those that have forgotten God. But Lord, we know that we have not forgotten you. We are more conscious of you than ever before, though perhaps we have not yet come to that place where there's a thrilling consciousness and certain aspects that we are wanting to delay ourselves in. But Lord, at this time we know that your word does not fail. Your proof of your presence will not ever fail. We know that you are here, and we know whatsoever you have promised will be carried out at this time, Lord, and not one bit of it shall fall to the ground, but it shall all come to pass. So, Father, we are concerned now tonight in the study of your word. We pray that you reach to our souls. They are exceedingly helpful, Lord, watering that which has already been planted. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, let's remember Saturday night, this Saturday, and then no more Saturday services until July the 4th weekend, but this is a long weekend, so there'll be some folk coming by. And we'll have a service Thursday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday 10:30, and perhaps at 3:30. It all depends on the length of the service on Sunday morning. I'll be well prepared, however, for all the services, so there'll be no problem with that part of it. So you just have to remind some of the folk about Saturday night. Now, also on Monday, Don and Lloyd are having the folk over for a little bit of lunch, and I suppose what most will do, bring sandwiches, but some of you won't need to do that. Just bring a few bottles of pop for the kids, I guess. We'll let you get off easy that way. So that's about right. All right, now, that's enough for the time being on that particular little announcement. And we want to deal with the presence of God again tonight. This is message number 5. And the subtopic is the revelation of the presence. And this will be the first of 2 messages. Now, to give us the right to say that there is a revelation of the Son of Man, when he will be present at the last day, we read that for his presence in Matthew 24:37-29. And the revelation of his presence is in Luke 17:26-30, where it shows that at the exact time of the presence and under the same conditions, there is a revelation of that same Son of Man who has been identified as present. So what we're looking at here is the fact there are 2 parallel portions of Scripture delineating upon the Son of Man, in which in Matthew 24:37-39, it distinctly sets forth his presence. And in Luke 17:26-30, at the exact period of time stated in Matthew, there is a revelation of the Son of Man who has been identified as present. Now, when is he present as Son of Man? Matthew 24:37-39. Now, this is a teaching message, but you're going to find some material here that is exceptionally valuable to you. Matthew 24:37-39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they're eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now that's a period of time mentioned there wherein the Son of Man is said to be present. Now you go to Luke 17:26-30, and we will see the exact period of time brought to our attention again. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, there we find him being revealed. Now we can go back to Matthew 24:3, that's the middle part of that verse, where it says, "And what shall be the sign of thy presence? And then you'll notice 4 and 5. It says, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And with it, 23 to 26, then if any man shall say, lo, to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall send thee, behold, in the desert, go not for, behold, in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now you will notice right there, this is another period of time wherein the observation concerning the Son of Man's presence can be made. So, we have found 3 portions of Scripture that set forth a definite period of time, perhaps not definite as to length, but definite that it is a period. Now, it is also said in 37 to 39, as we showed you here, that's the same portion, that there is a period of time encompassed, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. It is also noted that this period of time of His presence is just before the Great Tribulation. For you'll notice what it says over here in the 27th verse, which is our connecting verse, Matthew 24. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth in the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For us over the carcasses, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation those days, the sun be darkened, the moon give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the power of the earth shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and so on. So you can see the tribulation will take place, showing us again that the presence of the Son of Man is an extended period of time. We also note that this presence is before the actual coming or return to earth of the Lord. Notice Matthew 24, 30 to 31. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send his angels a great sound of trumpet to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, I don't believe that's a gathering together to him. I believe that's gathering them where they're going to come back to earth, because they're all going to be gathered. They're going to be in that great procession. But you notice what is mentioned here. And this portion, I believe, corresponds to the book of Revelation chapter 19, and I think it's verse 11, perhaps. And it says, I saw heaven, and behold, a white horse, and him, and he that was sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he met judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and so on. And this is where he comes back. And over here, it also mentions the fact that his holy ones are coming with him, which is certainly true. They are the elect which come down and inhabit the earth. Now, as I mentioned here, you will notice that the great tribulation and the literal second coming of Christ, as people call it, that is his descent to earth. Now, I'm bypassing the actual rapture, because I do not agree with the fundamentalists that the purge is the rapture, that the coming is the rapture. That is, they put it as point as the first part of it. I do not. I put that all as part of the presence, with bringing the rapture about. So number one is the presence, which contains the presence on earth here to bring the bride together, the living bride. Secondly, to bring about a resurrection. To thirdly, bring about a rapture. Then, after the wedding supper, they will be coming back. This is how we understand it in this message. So there is a period of time here, and it's right after this presence that what that presence accomplishes is when their great tribulation will set in. Then at the end of the tribulation, there will be that coming back, because his presence was known upon earth. Now, this presence sounds very vague and mysterious as to its actual manifestation when you read 37 to 39 of Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That is, the presence of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now, why I said what I did, it sounds very vague and mysterious, is because it says he's here, they don't know it, and they get carried away. It was just the same as the days of Noah. Nobody, it wasn't that nobody knew. It was that nobody was paying any attention.
that was the tough part of it. They weren't paying proper attention to it. Now, so yet, according to Scripture, the presence can be known. Because it says in verse 27, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth in the west, so shall also the present Son of Man be. So the presence of the Son of Man can be known. And so we are categorically informed that the Son of Man will be revealed in spite of the fact that it is apparently hidden and all but covered over so that the whole world will miss it. And only a very select few called the election will see it. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and show great signs and wonders. And that's when they'll say, he's in the desert, come on over here, he's here, do this. Don't believe it, because everyone is going to be deceived but the elect. Now what's he talking about? The presence. So, the presence of God is of the Holy Spirit at the end time, when he is present, known as the Son of Man, insofar that he is the Logos, who is performing the same ministry, doing the same things when he was here on earth. He will be revealed to be that Spirit, and the world will categorically be unaware of it. They will be, instead of aware of it, they're going to be pulled over exactly to what is Antichrist and opposite. But the elect will be aware of it, and it's going to go on for an extensive period of time, which to this date has gone on since June 11th, 1933, which is 48 years coming up. That's how long it's been going on. Because that's exactly when the first intimation of the descent came. Now, what we're really looking at, more pertinent than ever, is when he came into the church in Revelation 10 and 1, in the week of March 19 to 24th of 1963, which brings it down to 18 years, and he's coming more and more into the church. But he is here, and only the election will, in that period, be cognizant of his presence. Now, this revelation, or uncovering, or exposing of the presence, is what is spoken of in Ephesians, the first chapter, which we are also studying, especially on our Sunday mornings. And in there we read in the first chapter, where Paul is praying in verse 15 and verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the Holy Spirit himself is making himself known. And notice there'll be a resurrection and a rapture. And that's exactly what is said here. This is the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ brought to our attention by the Apostle Paul, who was given the revelation by Jesus himself, the identical revelation as he said, God showed me, I'm telling you, the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, take it, this is my body. Also took the cup and said, drink, this is a remembrance of me, and so on. So, Paul was given a complete revelation as one born out of due season. He might as well have been there. But he didn't need to be. So now by the Holy Spirit he is given the complete revelation, and in here he is telling us exactly what Jesus has said. There is going to be a time on earth, an extended period of time, when the Son of Man is present revealing himself. And that it is both responsible for and foreruns the rapture is clearly seen in Luke 17, 26 to 37. So let's get back to Luke, and we saw that in the book of Ephesians, which I did not continue to read the entire passage. Okay? And it wasn't the days of Noah, the same, it'll be the days of Son of Man. Now that corroborates Matthew 24. Ate, they drank, married wives, gave in marriage, until the day Noah the ark, flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise also in days of Lot, ate, drank, bought, sold, built, and planted. The same day the Lot went out of Sodom, rain, fire, and brimstone, heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now that's the same thing. Same thing. Okay. In that day, he that should be on the housetop, any stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. He that's in the field, let him likewise not return. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, that's telling you something about Lot's wife here. In other words, she was able to be a part of the exit and refused it by compromising herself with the things of this world. In other words, the presence and the revelation is so obscure unless God quickens it. There'll be people in this message won't even know up from down. And the very thing that Brother Branham worried about, selling this message out because they get too busy with carnal things. See? Now that's just the long and short of it. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. That's his soul life. In other words, the things that he wants to do, he's running around, good time, this, that. I don't even know why some people bother coming to church. They might as well stay on backslide. Except for one thing. They could be foolish virgin. God knows, I don't know. I mean, I'm not pessimistic. I'm just right down to earth with the Scripture. And there's nobody going to tell me Scripture will not be fulfilled, because it's going to be fulfilled, because God is God, and there's going to be a little net group to go all the way. There's going to be hangers around. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Now, we just can't kid ourselves. And the sooner we begin looking at things, the quicker we're going to go somewhere. That's why my messages are not geared to make you happy and hurrah, shouting around, although you can do that too. They're geared to let you know exactly what's going on, and you do what you want with it. Now, that's just how the cookie crumbles. Now, I tell you, in that night, there are two in the bed, one taken, one left, two and grind together, one taken, left. Now, that tells you right there, at that particular time, in the presence, in the revelation, there's three kinds of believers. Make-believers, unbelievers, in the election. And it says at that time, everybody but the election is going to be fooling around. Why? Because they know what's going on. And they're not going to be entrapped with the things of this world, which rich, increased in goods, and lack nothing, and don't know you're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. See? Now, rapture is going to take place. And he answered and said to him, where, Lord? And he said, wherever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, you can see here then, what we're looking at, the presence is going to be such that people will not really understand that he's there. They will not be engrossed in it as they ought to be. It'll be something which is maybe a little bit of head knowledge and put to one side instead of taken as it should be. Now notice in verse 37, he answered and said, now, where, Lord? Now you notice it's very strange that the thought comes out, where, Lord? Now, the question is asked, where is the revelation? Because this is how it is when the these things take place. And when is the rapture? And the answer is in 37b, thither the eagles have been gathered. In other words, when they're gathered around him who is the Word, that's the revelation, and that's the rapture. That's why Brother Branham said the rapture is a revelation. Because if there's no revelation, there's no rapture. See? Now, we must understand these things. Now, nobody can dynamize our mechanics except God. The revelation, the rapture, can only happen because of the presence. No presence, no revelation, no gathering, no rapture. Now, that's exactly the Bible. That's exactly what Brother Branham taught. Now, let us try to find out what pertains to this revelation of him who is present just before the tribulation. To do so, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1. Now, we saw that there is a time on earth when his presence is there. At that same time, he is revealing himself while he is here. And that presence is going to gather us together, is going to put us in a rapture. There is no doubt about it. Absolutely only the elect are going to be a part of it. He will be there, the world won't even be aware of it until it's all over. And they're going to say, wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't that supposed to happen? Say, it's already done happen. Every time you people preach the presence as the rapture, you were so confused with the Word, you didn't even know what you're saying. And therefore you put it way, way over yonder, looking forward, ignoring what's present. And that's what Brother Branham said. He said, everybody looks backward, everybody looks forward, and no one gives a rip what's going on. Well, I give a rip what's going on. That's why I'm preaching this way. And I'll tell you, I would sooner miss it my way than miss it anybody else's way. I'm looking back or looking forward. You do what you want with it. At least I know I'm trying. It's exactly right. Now, we're going to read this chapter of Revelation, and we're going to read it all, because this will be necessary. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things, which shall shortly come to pass, he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that read, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein from the times at hand. Shout the seven churches are in the age of grace beyond you and peace between which is and was, and which is to come from the seven spirits which are before his throne from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he come with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also have pierced him, and all kings of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, am also your brother and companion in tribulation, the king and patience of Jesus Christ, the hour called Patmos of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is in, heard behind me a great voice of trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last, and what thou seest write in the book of the seven churches of our nation, at Ephesus, Smyrna, Smyrna, Pergamus, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me. Now that's a conversation of voice, by the way. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed the garment down his foot, and girded about the paps of gold, girded his hairs white as wool, his white as snow, and his eyes flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, they burn in the furnace, the voice of the sound of many waters, he had his right hand seven stars, eyes mounted a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance of the sun shine as his strength. And when I saw him, I fell, his feet are dead, and laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and last time he living was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things that thou hast seen, and things which are, and the things shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars, the eight messengers of the seven churches, and seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, it is categorically evident that Revelation verse of chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, is a condensed or miniaturized picture of the entire book of Revelation setting forth Christ's revelation and role in the church to the day he comes to take over the rule that ends in 1 Corinthians 15:22-24, and that is where all things are put under his feet. Now that's pretty well exactly what you see here, that his role in the church is over in the first 8 verses, and he has come take up his position where everything must now fall under him until the great day when he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon Mount Zion and turns the kingdom back to the Father when such a time comes that before they call, he answers. Now, Revelation chapter 1 verses 9 to 20 view Christ in the seven church ages as revealed. Now, number one is revealed as living, as reigning in the bride, and with that is given the understanding of how the revelation is given. Now, I said he is revealed. Alright? 12 to 16. I turned to see the voice of Satan, and being turned, saw seven golden candlesticks in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, girded about the paps of gold, and girded his head of hair like wool, white as snow, eyes like flame, fire, feet like a fine brass, sifted, burned, and burned, his voice sounded many waters, and his right hand seven times, and one sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun in his strength. Okay, he's revealed. Now notice, also, he is reigning, because in the 13th verse, he is as a judge. And a judge is literally the same as a magistrate, which literally is the same as God. Those titles are the same things. So therefore now we see that he is in preeminence and given preeminence in the church, and he is reigning in the hearts of the people. He's not reigning on the earth yet. He's simply reigning there. And he is living in the bride. And he, verse 18, proves that. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, how is he revealed? You'll notice he is revealed in verse 4. John, unto the seven churches are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Seven spirits before the throne. And in verse 20, last part, and it says, the seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. We're looking at that. Now, we can prove just what we have said by going to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now notice, seven spirits, seven messengers. Revelation. Okay, and revealing him. Chapter 2 and 1, unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus. Right, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and then he talks, and then in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Now you notice how the revelation comes. The revelation comes by a measure of the Holy Spirit and the word to every messenger of every age, and that goes to the church. Number 8 verse, unto the messenger of the church in Smyrna write, these things said the first and last, which was dead, alive. Notice, he is identifying himself, revealing who he is. Then it says in the 11th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is speaking to the churches, but the Spirit is speaking through a messenger in every single age, and you will see, that's why it's called the seven spirits before the throne. One anointing in every age, one revelation in every age, and the church gets its revelation from the individual messenger who is giving it for that hour. That proceeds in 12 and 17, 18 and 29, chapter 3, 1 and 6, chapter 3, 7 and 13. Then the last one is 14 and 22. Now notice that in seven ages he is present in the church and he is revealed. Now I care less whether the revelation is of one age, is paramount, or as good as the revelation of another age. That is not what it is all about. Because we know in the dark ages the church went into eclipse and the revelation of Jesus was pretty skimpy, but it was there just the same. And even in idolatrous Romanism, definitely there were men full of the Holy Ghost. And they believed as far as they could believe because the revelation was cut off from them, see? Deliberately destroyed. If they could have had the revelation handed down from the first age to the second, they could have built a little better. But they couldn't do it. It was so skimpy as it was destroyed from their midst. So, there wasn't much revelation in some ages. But you notice in the first age, there was a great revelation and be by his presence. And remember, we showed you already in the last age, there is also the presence and another revelation. And it isn't that the revelation isn't tremendous, it's that the people don't want it. See? They don't even care two bits for it. Now, it is in the seven church ages, he is present in the church and he is revealed. And you notice how he's present in the church is by the word. Now, we mustn't forget that. But notice, too, the heavy emphasis on him who is called Alpha and Omega. Now, watch how it is put in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, notice he says here, fear not. I am Alpha and Omega. I am first and the last. I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now notice, that ends the revelation. There isn't one more thing said about him. It's amen. It's all over. Amen means finished. Now notice, in Revelation 3 and 14, that's the last church age. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen. He didn't say that in any other church age. So the revelation of himself petered out in the first chapter and proves it's finished in the last church age. Says right here. See? Now, there it is again. Notice over here in the book of Isaiah. We go to chapter 65. And I think it's chapter 65. We'll see the same thing there. Yeah, let's read it. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. That's verse 1. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Now, come on, you know he can't be talking to Israel. Got to be talking to somebody else. I spread out my hands all day to rebellious people, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Peter provoked me to anger and continued in my face that sacrifice and guards and burn incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge the mountains, eat swine flesh and broth, abominable things in their vessels. Say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. Oh, come on. I've gotten rich and increased in goods and don't need a thing. Who needs Elijah? Who needs anybody? Get out of here, you bunch of idiots. These are they, a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. Behold, is written before me. I'll not keep silence, but recompense, even a recompense under their bosom. Your iniquities, iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains, blasphemy upon the hills. Therefore I measure their former works into their bosom. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to pay double to her. Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster. And one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake that I will not destroy them all. He'd make a little comparison. He said, I'm going to come out of her, my people, and I'll send forth the seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, and inherit of my mountains, and mine election inherit, and my servants dwell therein. And Cheryl shall be a fold of the flock. Now, he remember, these are symbolic, because he said these nations didn't know me. Okay, in the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, that furnish the drink offering out of that number. Therefore I number you to the sword, and you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called you didn't answer. When I spake you did not hear, but did evilly before mine eyes. Where is he? In the midst of them. And did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you'll be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you'll be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you're going to be ashamed. We're at the wedding supper. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy and heart, but you'll cry for sore heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. That he that bless himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. This is the God of the Amen. Word's not truth, it's Amen. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of the Amen. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they're hidden by my eyes. You're going to the rapture. Getting caught away. For behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. There you are. It's all over. See? Now, there again. And we see what time it is. End time. All over. Final revelation. No more to go. This is Amen. Alpha took place in the first age. Omega in the second age. The prayer opens. The prayer closes. The doxology opens. The doxology closes. So we see at the last stage, the seventh age, he is specially revealed, even as he was specially revealed in age one. In age one to the first messenger, Paul, he was present and revealed in Acts 9, 3-20. Now you know that's where the pillar of fire came. And he was struck down. He said, who art thou? The voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said back, I'm Jesus. Then you know his conversion. But you go to Galatians, the first chapter, and hear what Paul said, because this is terribly important, beginning at verse 11. But I certify your brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by a man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ revealed himself to me in his word. For you have heard of my conversion in time past, and the Jews' religion held beyond measure, persecuted the church of God, and wasted, and profited the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father, and it pleased God, has separated me in my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, revealed his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, and me that I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went up to Jerusalem, them were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, 3 solid years in the desert, receiving the revelation from God. Didn't make one move to go anywhere. After 3 years, went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and more than 15 days, rather, the apostle saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. In the second chapter, beginning of the 6th verse, but of those that seem to be somewhat, he went up there later on again. Whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. I like that guy's spunk. For they seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, there's a difference. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty to me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seen to be pillars, perceived the grace of that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they to the circumcision. Now that was Alpha. Now as Omega, he appears to the seventh church age messenger exactly the same way with the identical revelation. Now come on, let's look at it. Revelation chapter 10. And in verse 1. I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet were the sun, and his feet the pillars of fire. Now that tells you right there, that's the first chapter of Revelation, that same one. I'm Jesus, Son of Man. And he held in hand a little book open, set his right foot upon the sea, left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice in the night, and he cried 7 times under the voices. And the 7 times under the voice, I was about to write, and heard a voice of him saying to me, seal up those things 7 times under the right, and write them not. And the angel that I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, left his hand to heaven, swear by him to live forever and ever. He created the heaven things there and are, and the earth and things there and are, and the sea there therein, the task be no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, as he hath proclaimed the good news of the gospel by his servants, the prophets shall be finished. Omega. Alright, what's going to happen? A mighty messenger is going to come down, and the gospel gets revealed as per se all the mysteries. In other words, there is nothing that will be remaining uncovered. Now, let's just find out about that. We go over here to the book of Ephesians. As we saw in the first chapter, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Tells you right there, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who do believe. That's the Omega revelation. They had a special revelation as Alpha. They got a special revelation as Omega. As the pillar of fire came, which was the Logos, and gave the original, He is duty bound to give the other. And but who is that pillar of fire in the church? One like to the Son of Man. See, the same one in human flesh that walked on earth. See, now absolutely in the church, in seven measures of the Spirit, in seven messages of the Word of Almighty God, at the end time, the same one comes back. Now, that's Revelation 10 and 7, and you join that with the book of James, the fifth chapter and the fifth verse, it'd make a dead man scream. Be patient, therefore, brethren, under the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited. That's Jesus. The sower of the seed, the sower of the seed, of Matthew 13. He said, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay. Remember, all things were created by Him. All things made by Him. We'll go into that sometime. I'm not ready for it yet. And the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and a long patient drip until he received the early and latter rain. He's telling you right there what the blood of Jesus Christ fell upon the ground for was not just to cleanse this earth. No, no, no. But it was to bring our bodies out of the ground that was now cleansed so the Holy Spirit could come back to a cleansed and beautiful temple. That resurrection, and it says the husbandman Jesus Himself is waiting for our resurrection. He's got to wait for it, but He can't have it until the former and the latter rain. And the former rain is a teaching ministry that comes at the time when God pours His Spirit out in power at the end time. So therefore, you see, there's a very special revelation at the end time. A very special presence, a very special relation. But hold it right there. We go back to Revelation chapter 1, 18 and B, the last part. And notice what he says, and I have the keys. I have the keys of hell and death. Now, listen, I have the keys of hell and death does not come at the Alpha time. It comes at the Amen or the Omega time, which makes this a more special and a more wonderful revelation and time than there was with Paul. Though Paul wanted it, he couldn't have it because he only had Alpha. You had to have Omega to have the gate, to have the keys of death and hell. Now you say, well, I believe he had the ready. No, 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 he did not. He did not have. We'll show you that. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and in the actual truth of the matter, 1 Corinthians 15 and 23, it says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. And then it says over here, again in James the fifth chapter, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience with it till he received the earth and latter rain. Now listen, in 1 Corinthians 15, here's the point. 51, behold, I show you mystery, will not all sleep. We'll all be changed, moment, twinkling eyes, the last trump's going to sound, and the dead shall be raised in a couple, we shall be changed. Now that's a mystery right there. For this corruptibility must put in corruptibility, this mortal put in mortality, so when this corruptibility shall have put in corruptibility, and this mortal shall have put in mortality, then we brought to pass that even death is swallowed up in a victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy victory? It's at that time. It's at that time. The revelation of Him who holds those keys to every single solitary thing, who comes down to unlock every single mystery, who comes down to unlock the mystery of what lies within us, the changes of immortality, that one stands there with the keys of death and of hell, and death has got to stand back. Yes, sir, it's got to death. Now notice, that same Omega and Alpha, Revelation 10, 1 and 7, that's 1 and 7. The white one that comes down, the messenger standing there, has to be Acts 9 and 3. The pillar of fire come down. And Galatians 1, 11 to 12, the identical same one revealing himself. But notice now listen, they're the same, but watch. Revelation 10 and 7 is concerned with the thunders, which Paul could not be concerned with. They were mysteries which were sealed up, and they could not be touched. the lion that roared from heaven had a voice of thunder on earth. See? It was transferred from the lion age to the eagle age. As a lion roars, as an eagle. Now remember, the Lord will do nothing until He first reveals His secrets to His prophets. So now we've got this man here in the last church age, in the elf age, when every mystery is going to run its course, even immortality, the mystery, even the dead coming out, every single thing runs its course. Now listen, He came down, and when He came down, there was a voice on earth. Come on now, let's get it planned. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that is a military command. And the Word of God distinctly says it is not said to be the voice of Jesus Himself. It is the voice of somebody else. Then whose voice is it? Revelation 10 and 7. The voice of a prophet. That's absolutely scriptural. Now, let's go back to Revelation 1 and 1 again. Unto him to show unto his servants which the things must shortly come to pass, he said, and signified it by his angel, messenger unto his servant John. And 12 to 16. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw those that one in the midst of the seven candlesticks which we described. Also now, unto Revelation 2 and 1. Unto the messenger of church which is in Ephesus, write these things, that he that holds the seven stars right hand, who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. Now listen, with that we go to the last part, 3 and 14. Unto the messenger of church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen. Now, notice, closing off, beginning, and this time he calls himself the beginning of the creation of God, which signifies God starting all over again. It is resurrection time. And there is, and only His presence can do it. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 23, them that are Christ at His presence. But notice, a revelation goes with it. They were weaving you back and forth and just bringing it to your attention time and time again, so you'll get to know these scriptures the same as I know them. Revelation 1:17, it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not something else or somebody else, but the revealing of Him. See? That's right. The revealing of Him. Now watch how this lines up with the Omega message. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance, the saints, revelation. Then what? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, the living saints, according to the working mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? He's going to do the same thing to people here in a mystery that are walking and living and breathing, and they'll never die. See? There it is. And there's your revelation right down the line. Now, a revelation has gone with it. And after the revelation comes the resurrection. Now, so far, so good. See? Understand what we're saying. There's a period of time when He's present. That same period of time He is revealed. We know how He is revealed. The Word of God tells us plainly. There is no mistaking of it. The major thing to watch out for, however, that there is an Alpha revelation and an Omega revelation, and they do literally two separate things. One started the church on the way, the other ends it. One introduces the life into the human body, the bride, the other finishes it all off. So now, what was in a matter of a hope is now into a reality where there's going to be the dead come out of the grave, the living bride is going to be changed, there's going to be a rapture. So, His presence is here in order to raise the dead. But with that, there must be a revelation. See, and this is what people don't understand. And they got the thing all messed up. They're always going to come from glory. And He's going to start partway. And He's going to start yelling. And He's going to do this. And He's going to hogwash. He's coming right down here. For the prophet. You see, they got no use for Elijah. You know why they don't have any use for Elijah? Because they got no use for the Word. They're full of their own creeds and dogmas, their own understanding. So when a man comes by, an anointed prophet, vindicated, indicated, proving his rightness with Almighty God, stands there knowing he's Elijah, they should get out of the way, boy, who needs you? Well, then God's a liar. Because He said He's got to come first. See? You talk about anarchy. It's that fine spirit of Antichrist. We're rich, increased in goods, and don't need a thing. Look, we're going to make it. Hallelujah! We're on our way.
Get food. Which way? Going down, see?
All right, listen. So far, so good. We now want to view some scripture that speaks of this end time revelation. So we go here to 1 Corinthians. And it's the first chapter. And it's verses 4-8. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And everything you're enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift waiting for the, that is the unveiling, the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, notice the word coming here in the seventh verse is apocalypse, which means unveiling. Now listen, at that time of verse 7, the unveiling, what is going to happen? They are going to be confirmed to the end. The word confirmed means established, secure, made firm. To the end, you'll be blameless. The word blameless signifies that which cannot be called into account with nothing laid to one's charge. It implies not merely acquittal, but the absence of even a charge or accusation against the person. Well, that's what it says. All right, let's find out where that's taken from. We go over here to the book of Romans. Just hold that in your mind. It says that at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be established, made secure. You're going to be made firm to the end that nobody could lay a charge against you. No way possible you stand acquitted. Now, that's what it says. So that no matter what the day of the Lord Jesus Christ brings up, whichever way you want to look at it, and you may find that's not exactly the word you think it is either. Let's go back to Romans 8 chapter. Now, over here it says here, and that is 33-34, who dares arraign me in God's court? Who dares lay a charge against me? Who dares arraign me? No way! It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns me to death? Says I gotta die. Well, it's appointed unto man once to die. Now who's gonna stand here and tell me I'm gonna die? I'm going to tell you flat the Apostle Paul had to die. He was condemned to death. Prudia, he already tells us. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So he says here, who dares sin in death? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even the right hand of God and making intercession for us. Now, that's what we're looking at over here in that word blameless. A charge cannot be laid against you even. See? No charge can be laid. It implies not merely acquittal, but no way can there be an accusation. Now, let's get the context of those verses by reading 11th verse. But if the spirit of him that raised up, this 8, Romans 8, Jesus the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, that is quickened your mortal bodies, but his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you live. Of course, many led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, our Father. You receive the spirit of manifested sonship. In other words, proving exactly what you are. So there's nothing phony about it. There is nothing out of character. You cannot come here with a mask on. This is the sons of God unveiled as to their true identity. That's what the word means. Okay. The Spirit shall bring our spirit with children of God. And if children heirs, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be, if we so suffer, then we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy in comparison to the glory shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of sons of God. Now he's telling you something here. For the creation was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, or creation, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In other words, when man gets his change in the resurrection, the earth and everything pertaining to it will begin to get their change too. The animals will come back. Nature will come back. It's going to be wonderful. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves growing ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. For you're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why he had hope for. But if we hope for that we see not, then with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We don't know what we ought to pray. The Spirit makes intercession grow and can't be uttered. I mean, he that searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Those that call according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be made the firstborn among many brethren, more of whom he did predestinate. He also called him, he called him, he also justified him, he justified him, he also glorified. What do we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but everyone for us all, how shall not with him also freely give us all things? Now, here's where he says, who dares arraign me in God's court? Who shall lay a charge? It is God that justifies. Now, that means you never did in the first place. Who is he that condemns me to death? Christ died, is rather risen again at the right hand of God making intercession. Now, what I have done here, I have taken the thought from the revelation of Christ, which has to do with his presence, and brought it right to the place where a people will be standing here, and the Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die. I'm not going to die. Nobody can lay a charge against me. Why? It's adoption time. It's manifesting time to prove who is the true Son of God, to show who is right. And that takes you to Revelation. He that is filthy, filthy, filthy. He that is righteous, righteous, filthy. Outsider dogs and whoremongers and murderers, and those that love a lie. See, you got a line of demarcation here. That's what I'm trying to show you in this thing. If he takes it right to this, comes right to the point of showing you. It's at this time in the manifestation when it's time for the sons of God to be revealed as to who they really are. See, in his presence, at that revelation, we're blameless. Nobody can lay a charge standing right in the presence of Almighty God. See? Sin scattered, there's no evidence. And because he, the one of the order of Melchizedek, the fleshly body of him, sitting on that throne there, absolutely now demanding the bodies of the resurrection for his kingdom, and these people can't die, and death stands right back there, the keys of hell and death. How is anybody not going to then make the resurrection and the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ that's already elected? Now, let's go a little further. Who shall separate from love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, naked, peril of sword, as written for thy sake, for killed all the long count of sheep to slaughter, and all these things are more than conquerors? I'm persuaded in life to death, the ain't prince, valleys, power, and things to come right depth, can separate us. I see here, brother, sister, once more the squeeze coming down. Brother Branham categorically mentioned the squeeze, the bride being hunted. And I am not going to get away from that. That's why I must teach this, and we must come to the place where we are, have so concerned ourselves with his presence, being in his presence and knowing the things of God, till all these things go to one side, and we can take whatever comes upon us. See? Now, here we are, blameless, strengthened, in his presence, by his revelation, we will make it. Now back to 1 Corinthians again. And the 8th verse, who shall confirm you then that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus? Blamelessness means the bride can't go to the great tribulation. No way. No, sir, because Malachi tells you that. There'll be a squeeze. She misses wrath, but she returns to the earth blameless. As we saw in Revelation 22 and 10 where the book was opened and nobody could close it. How can you close the book that was opened? No way, because the final mysteries are coming out. But just the same, the book will be closed. Nobody else can come in. See? Now, notice, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and pardon me, the first chapter, in verse 7, here again, we see the revelation. At this same period of time, and to your troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven, apocalypse, unveiled with his mighty messengers. Absolutely, this is Revelation 10 and 1, to my understanding. Under the seventh seal comes the relaxation because of 1 Corinthians 1 and 7. Absolutely. Let's go back and take a look at it again. Just something struck my mind here. I want to see if it's the same words I had in mind. Okay. It says here, you come behind in no gift. In other words, you lack nothing. Over there, the Laodicean church was saying, we're rich, increased in goods and don't lack anything. And Jesus said, you're rich, miserable, naked, blind. But to the bride, he says, you don't lack a thing. You've got what they talk about. They make themselves the bride. But he said, I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and show you who I've loved. Oh, listen, there's a great day here, brother, sister. Just get with it. Just get with it. Never mind anything else. They're going to take it anyway. They're going to take it in, but they can't take that thing within you. No, sir. Now, at this time, there comes that relaxation. Because why? He is here and they revealed himself to her. And when he reveals himself, as the prophet said, it's that she might know her mate. You see? So she understands. All right. She's relaxed. She's at peace. For he's been revealed to him. Okay. We now turn to another portion of scripture. 1 Peter. Now, you see, I weave all of these into this message here. And I make no apologies. 1:3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a life of the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready for you in the last time. Yes, he manifested, revealed. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for season of need, being heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of faith being much more precious than that of gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing, the apocalypses, of Jesus Christ, whom they have not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, he rejoiced with joy being full of glory. Now it says that this time you don't see him, but you're going to see him. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Okay, remember the appearing, the revelation, the unveiling. Now, compare this with the appearing and presence of Revelation 3:14. And unto the messenger of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the finisher, the ender, the starting all over again with the resurrection, creating himself anew in the form of human flesh. Going back to 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Okay, when does this take place? It takes place at the last time revelation of Christ. The confirmation. Churches have a confirming service, a confirmation. We're in our confirmation service where God himself has come down by the Holy Ghost to confirm us to the end, blameless. You don't have to wear pretty little white veils and things like some stupid communion thing that makes you think you're going to get somewhere. You take communion because you already have gotten somewhere. And now God the Father himself down here, the Holy Spirit, he approves and with his own divine approbation of your partaking of emblem and says, by no means can anybody judge them. By no means can anybody put anything against them. They're justified, they're holy. Everything outside is nothing but whoremongers and dogs. Liars and criminals. See, my, listen, what a tremendous, tremendous accolade that is. What a gratifying description of a bride. Hey, she's righteous. They're filthy. She's pure. This is impure. She's holy. They're unholy. Oh, she's a sheep. They're dogs. She's the virtuous bride of Jesus, and they're male prostitutes. My God, if that wouldn't make you think. So I'm not telling you a lie. I'm telling you the truth. The Amen. It is over. Notice also, in 1 Peter 1:13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace. That's to be brought unto you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And brother, sister, when you're in your flesh, changed and immortalized, you don't need grace. It's before you're changed you need your grace. This is now. I preached the message of grace last Sunday. See? Exactly right. That's the message of grace. We saw that. Now, there it is. The presence brings down a revelation. Truly that is Ephesians 1:17. Truly that is Revelation 10:1-7. There can be no doubt that the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4, which is a military command, is Matthew 25:6, behold the bridegroom hath to meet him. And it ends in Revelation 3:20-21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door and I will come to him and sup with him and me. And him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne as I am overcome and set down my Father in his throne. There you are, brother, sister. Presence and revelation. Look what it's doing. Absolutely. Now, I know the world fundamentalists got it all figured out and say, well, hallelujah, we're born again. We speak with tongues. We know we got something. Everything is just fine. We've got it made. That's not true. God has got to work out His own program, His own way. And I and you and I understand that, even that one little trick verse of Scripture, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. How does God get around that? How did He get around the garden of Eden? He came down here and did it Himself. How does He get around it now? He comes down here and does it Himself. Look back there in the blood and says, you're blameless. Come on in. It's all over. You're not going to die. Mortality puts on immortality. Oh, I'm glad He's here now. I'm going to say again, brother, sister, if I don't make it, somebody is, and I know how. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we will not stand in our way. No, sir. We'll cheer on and say, hallelujah, He's here. Can't see Him with the naked eye. Let me tell you, I know by Scripture I see Him veiled there. At the same time, the veil unveils Him, as the prophet said so beautifully. For there is nothing hidden that but has been hidden for the manifested purpose of revealing it. That's exactly what the Scripture says in the literal. So here He is. Whom having not seen you love, though now you see Him not yet, bleeding with joy and being full of glory, you're waiting for the time that you do. And how do we see Him? We see Him tonight with the eye through the Word. Now that's sermon number one on the Revelation. Next Sunday or Wednesday, whatever it is, we'll take number two and continue and show how it comes about point by point as we try to do it. So here's your picture. Understand carefully. A period of time designated by two portions of Scripture. One of which in Matthew does not mention Revelation except in the fact of the verse of 27. It talks of the present and it tells of the conditions there. In Luke 17, it mentions both the conditions and the fact of a present. Then it mentions a revelation. Then in that revelation takes you positively. The present and the revelation leads distinctly to the great tribulation and destruction on the one side and to the resurrection and the rapture on the other side. And it's going on now. Then out of that we find out, how does He reveal Himself? Go to your Bible and find how He revealed Himself. It's going to be the same thing because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change. And we show you how He started out there as Omega. What He was in the first chapter. What He was in the first age. Then He said, I was Omega, Alpha there. I'm Omega. Showed you the identical same way. A tremendous revelation. But the revelation at the end time eclipsed the revelation of the first time because they couldn't have a rapture. They couldn't have a resurrection. And here you see now how God can take your bride. Let her stand right here. Bring her out of the filth of the mire. She's washed her garments in the waters of separation by the Word. That's where she's got her strength tonight, brother, sister. That's why God can say, you can't put a finger on her. She's justified. No way you're going to touch her. She's blameless, see? Come now, in the presence of the Lord. Now, she's the one that's come out at the military command. She's the one that's heard the voice. See, behold the bridegroom. Come out of her. I want to tell you something. When the prophet came on the scene and he began to reveal Him who is our God, they said, drop dead. They had the God of their imagination. They had the God of their dogmas and creeds. That's exactly what Jesus said to Israel. He said, you've made void the promise of God by your own tradition. Listen, let me tell you something, brother, sister. No way can a promise of God in this Word ever come to pass if one word of tradition has crept into it. The very hope that these people have today of making the rapture because they defiled the very Word appearing, they'll never make the rapture. There's no way they're going to make it. You say, brother, they condemn. I don't condemn anybody. Because if I'm wrong, I'm shocked too. I never said I was right. Prophet's right. I believe I teach right. Not every little point. But you'll see as time goes on, these messages, we're going to take on additional points and drop off some. Because the first one was just a teeny, teeny bit out. But before it's over, I'll be right down that line. So how do you know? I got faith. I got faith, that's all. Lord bless you, that's all. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for grace and mercy, which we continually praise You for, Lord, because that's what the prophet said. He is here in grace and mercy revealing Himself. And we thank You for it, Lord. How we do thank You and honor Your great name tonight. And Lord, tonight we are so happy to know that You have been revealed. And though it is not yet what it should be, O God, it will be, Lord Jesus, before it's over. This, O God, which we feel so strongly in the mind, O God, one day is going to get down to the eyes of the heart. And we will know that we're known. We know that already by experience. We know by manifestation the word of this hour.
But Lord God, to know it all the way, we're going to know it all the way. Even one day as we're going to stand and know, say, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, knowing we've been justified, declared blameless. And let all the powers of hell come, because they will come against this revelation, the gates of hell being against it. And Lord, let the pressure come by the grace that God will be able to take it. Lord, get us ready for that day. We know it's coming sooner, perhaps, than we thought, seeing the old-timers moving off the scene, seeing the shades begin to pull down more and more. The little tiny bride's going to close in more and more. That little tiny, tiny handful, oh God. It'd be nice to be one of them in that sense of standing here. But if the prophet couldn't stand here, then we're not asking either to stand here. But if it be, Lord, in that way that you've had it predestinated based upon your foreknowledge, then, Lord, that's the way it will be. And we know that there will be everything not only propitious, but everything will be completely outworking right down the line. And we shall stand here and walk to the tree of life. What a glorious day, Lord. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Now, Father, we pray you'll heal the sick amongst us. Give out the strength to those, Lord, who already have strength. Let them mount on wings as eagles. The grace of Almighty God abide upon them. So we bless your name tonight, Lord, and thank you again for mercy and grace. Go with us, we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Don't forget Saturday night now, 7:30, and that'll be just fine. So let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you, and whoever's in voice, start it up. Bill, are you in voice? If you are, that's fine.